you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus is the third book of the Bible, so it's right at the beginning. And chapter 3, yes, sir. We've been talking about entering into the presence of God, and how do you enter into the presence of God, and how did the people in the Old Testament, the Jews, enter into the presence of God? And we've seen that now we enter into the presence of God through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone and his blood shed for us, that we have the ability to enter into his presence. Tonight we're looking at a different offering, and we have a different question. It's the peace offering. And a question that gets raised in our minds sometimes is, why would you even want to enter into the presence of God? Some people wonder, what would you do if you entered into the presence of God? Wouldn't it just be boring? That's what some people think. But the presence of God fills you with all joy, with all peace, with all awe and worship. What would you do in the presence of God? There's a song by Mercy Me that got played over and over and over, and frankly, most people are sick of hearing it, but it's called I Could Only Imagine. And in this song, he says, I'm surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance in your presence, or in awe of you be still? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I could only imagine. See, all these things that the songwriter says are things that we will do in the presence of God if we're in a right relationship with God. You see, we will enjoy the presence of God. And tonight, as we look at this peace offering, this peace sacrifice, I want to show you that it's about enjoying the very presence of God into which you can enter through the blood of Jesus Christ. Look with me, and we're just going to read a few verses at a time tonight as I walk through this passage, but look with me at verse 1, because it introduces this peace offering. Now, if his, the worshiper's offering, is a sacrifice of peace offerings. If he is going to offer out of the herd, if he's going to offer a cow or a cattle, whether male or female, he shall offer it without defect before the Lord. See, after these people had offered their sin offering to cover themselves from sin, and they had offered the burnt offering, they could offer another offering of a different kind, and this is called the peace offering. This first passage, it speaks of offering a cow, but you could also offer a lamb, or you could offer a goat, it talks about in the rest of this chapter. We're just going to look at the cow for right now, the cattle. See, this offering doesn't give us peace with God. It doesn't cleanse us and make us right with God. It's an opportunity to enjoy our peace with God. In Romans, it says that we were once enemies of God, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been made his friends. We have been reconciled into a relationship with him, and we are at peace with God. It says in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can enter into the presence of God and rejoice in the fact that we are able to enter into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We celebrate our peace. Peace. We talk a lot about peace in our world, don't we? We want peace from all the wars that we have. We want peace within our families. We don't want those hostilities anymore, that hatred. We want to be reconciled into relationship with people. We want to be reconciled with the nations. We don't want to be having wars anymore. We spend billions and billions of dollars on war. We don't want that. Sometimes they're necessary, but we don't want that. We want peace. Peace is having all things right in your relationship. Having things that are of Satan, the hatreds, the angers, the unforgiveness, those are dispelled with and peace is made. You're in a good and peaceful relationship. But there's something in this offering that's very different than the other offerings we've looked at. You see, the other offerings that you would offer, the sin offering, the guilt offering, the burnt offering, and the meal offering, you would kill this animal or you would offer this bread and you wouldn't eat from it. But this offering is different. You get to enjoy the offering that you give to the Lord. And you get to eat and take part. You are invited to eat and to be in fellowship with the Lord your God. I've been to a few times where I've seen speakers who have preached the Word of God or have given lectures. And after the lecture, there's sometimes a table outside. And at the table, it says it's reserved. You can't sit here. You're not allowed to sit here unless you're invited to sit with the speaker. Now, I'm never invited to be at those tables, but there's an intimacy at that table where you get to talk with the speaker and get to know the speaker. You get to learn about what the speaker really thinks. And this is what you get to do if you're in right fellowship with God. If you're at peace with God, you get to sit at his table. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will eat with him, and he with me." And it goes on to say that he who overcomes in the end, this person I will invite to sit at my throne, to rule with me. See, there's intimacy in eating with our loving God. Now this is fulfilled. This offering of the peace offering is fulfilled in the Lord's table as we come and receive the bread and the wine or the grape juice that reminds us of the blood and the bread of the Lord Jesus Christ who has died for us. And we thank him for what he has done. We are at peace with God. And then look at verse 2. It says that the worshiper, he shall lay his hand on the head of this animal, his offering, and he shall slay it at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood around the altar. In the burnt offering, we talked about the fact that when you put your hand upon this offering and you actually do the killing, you're saying that this is something that should have been done to me. I'm offering what should have been done to me through this animal to the Lord. You're transferring what should have been done to you onto this animal. But there's something more going on in this offering because your sin has already been paid. In verse 3, it says, "From the sacrifice of the peace offerings, the worshiper shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins and the lobe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's sons shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering, which is on the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord." There's three parts of this animal that the worshiper was not to take, was not to eat. You couldn't take the fat. You couldn't take the fat and eat it. Now, people don't like to admit this, but the fat is the best part of a steak. The good, the best. You're offering what is the best to the Lord. But the livers and the kidneys, What about those? In the Bible, when the Bible talks about your livers and your kidneys, it's like you're talking about the heart. You're talking about your emotions and I love, I heart you. You wouldn't say I kidney you or I liver you. But that's what you're saying. You're offering to God your love and your enjoyment of Him. You are enjoying the presence of God and you are offering all the enjoyment that you have at peace with Him, to Him. It is the result of having peace with God. It is the result of being in His presence that you enjoy Him. I don't know how many of you have had encounters with God that have just changed and transformed your lives. I've had one opportunity that, above all else, has changed my life. When the Lord, as I prayed, touched me. And I look at Romans chapter 5 and it says that the Holy Spirit pours out His love upon those who have believed. And I sense the love of God pouring out upon me in waves just coming over me. And I enjoyed that above all else. Enjoyed it more than anything else in the world. It's what I strive for, what I desire. And for every man in here, He will give you the enjoyment of His presence. He will give you every desire that you really have. He will fill you and fulfill you. This is why the psalmist in Psalm 84 can say that better is one day in the presence of the Lord in His courts than 1,000 days anywhere else. And so a worshiper, we find out in chapter 7, which we're not going to read, but I'm going to refer to. A worshiper who would bring this offering could do it for three different reasons. He could do it because something good had happened in his life and he just wanted to say, thank you, God. Maybe he got a new job or maybe something happened with his family that was good. He wanted to say, thank you, Lord. So he would take this offering to the temple and he would offer it. And he would tell the people about what had happened. And the people would praise God for what He had done because He has done so many great things in our lives. You could do it if you wanted to dedicate yourself to a certain task or for a certain reason. It's called the votive offering if you want to look in chapter 7. If you wanted to make a vow to the Lord and say, I'm going to offer myself for this very purpose. I'm going to be a missionary. You could take this offering and offer yourself into His service because you've enjoyed His presence and you want others to enjoy His presence for that reason too. You could also do it because the enjoyment of the Lord is just bubbling over in your life and you just want to offer Him something and say, thank you, Lord. It's a free will offering, it's called in chapter 7. We do these things. We thank the Lord for the things that He's done. We offer ourselves because we have enjoyed Him. And we enjoy Him and we bubble over. And we offer these things in free will offerings. But this worshiper, in chapter 7, it says that this offering needed to be enjoyed appropriately. It needed to be enjoyed in an appropriate manner. And as you read the instructions, it says you must eat it by the first or the second day. In some instances, you could wait a second day to eat this. Now, if you take a cow and you kill a cow, do you know how many hamburgers you can make out of a cow? I'm no butcher and I'm no, you know, Old Testament scholar or anything. But if you take a cow, I looked up on Google. If you take a cow and you take all the meat, you don't take out the ribeye steaks and the fillets. You just grind the whole thing up and you make burgers. You could make 1,200 quarter-pound patties. And you got to finish that by that day. Now, I know some of you guys are big and some of you guys are hungry, but you're not going to be able to do it. So this is the great thing. It's to be enjoyed with others. You're to enjoy this feast of Thanksgiving with the people around you. 1,200 hamburgers you could give to people. 1,200 of your best friends could come and enjoy this feast. 1,200 people. maybe less, maybe more, could come and praise the Lord together with you. It was a feast. It was a party. It was a celebration. And that's what this Lord's table is a feast, a celebration of what the Lord has done for you, and an opportunity to declare with others that you're thankful for what the Lord has done for you. And you want to bring others into his presence. You've enjoyed the Lord's presence so much. You want to bring others to see, to taste, and to see that the Lord is very good. You want to enjoy the presence of the Lord, not just by yourself. You want others to do it with you. You want to celebrate this peace that you have with others. As we talk about the Lord's table, Paul and Jesus, they both say, don't come to this table in an unworthy manner. You can't just come to it without confessing your sins. You can't just come to it and not believe that the Lord has saved you from your sins. You must come in a worthy manner. You don't come when you're in hostility with your brother. You settle those things before you come. Why? Because this is a feast that you're to enjoy together. Now, over the past week, I guess it's been 2 weeks, we had a couple of friends who had unintentionally, but really did kind of hurt us in a small way. Looking back at it, it's a small way, but my mind kept coming back to it, and I thought, you know, I'm okay, it's not a big deal, I'll just let it go. But it kept coming back to my mind, and I thought, I'm going to remember this forever. And I said, I'm going to be going to the Lord's table with these people. They go to my church. And I'm not going to be at true peace with these people. So I need to talk to them. So I sent them a note. I said, you know, I know you didn't mean it. And we briefly talked about it before. And they apologized. And I forgave them. But there was something that, you know, just wasn't quite right still. So we talked about it. And we prayed about it. And we were at peace in a way that we weren't before, and we were at unity in a way that we weren't before, and we can come into the presence together of the Lord, knowing that we're at peace, that these things are set aside, and we can come into the presence of the Lord. Come in peace with your brothers into the presence of the Lord. This offering, this peace offering, all these offerings have been fulfilled and are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a shadow of things to come. Scripture says, Hebrews talks about this, being a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ and him entering into the temple and bringing us into the temple of the Lord, into the presence of the Lord in heaven. And so we have the Lord's table as a fulfillment of this very thanksgiving offering. But then again, in Revelation chapter 19, there's an ultimate fulfillment. Jesus is the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to have a feast for us in heaven. It says that we will be blessed if we are invited to sit with him at this great feast. If we are invited, there is a table reserved for us in heaven. A table where there will no longer be any hunger, no longer be any thirst, because the banquet table is filled for us with good things, with good food. This table is filled for us with intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We forever can enter into his presence and speak with him face to face and talk with him and hear from him and enjoy him completely and fully. This is a place where we can enjoy the presence of God with people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation, people of every color. We will come together in peace and unity. That striving that we have for peace in this world will be fulfilled as we enter into this table where the Lord is. We will be drawn together and we will worship before him forever and ever. As that great song says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We will enjoy his presence in a powerful, profound way forever. Forever. For those of us who have put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are done away with. We are purified to enter into his presence and to enjoy him forever. Forever. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do pray that even now we would enjoy you, enjoy your presence because you are here with us. But we look forward to that day when we will enjoy you in unhindered fellowship and love and unity with our brothers and sisters. We look forward to that day, and we thank you for this offering that you've given us this glimpse into this truth of the joy that we find in you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.